11 minutes after 8 o'clock, you're listening to Mornings with Eric and Bridget right here on Moody Radio 89.3.
What comes to your mind when we say the word pioneer? And could you be one? Well, we hope after our conversation, the answer to that will be yes, because it is a book written by Jennifer Hayden Epperson. It's called The Pioneer's Way, and we're so pleased to invite her here on 89.3. Very familiar station to you, Jennifer. Welcome.
Well, I think it's more appropriate to say welcome back.
Yes, absolutely. You served as station manager here at WRNB for so many years. And, you know, of course, you're no stranger to South Florida as well. You went to Nova Southeastern University, got your doctorate there. And we can just go on and on. You're a familiar friend. And we're so pleased that you're joining us here with your new book here, The Pioneer's Way. So we're just thrilled.
Well, I thank you guys so much for living through all of it with me.
Yeah.
This is the result.
Okay, the result. What is it about The Pioneer? What created this book in your mind? I mean, I know you had a lot of thoughts and processes of dealing with different things, but then boiling it down to where we are when it comes to a pioneer and what that had to do with this book, what sent you in this direction, I guess, to write your book?
Well, I think if we go way back to a galaxy long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, when I was a little kid, I was very drawn to the original Star Trek series, where no one or no man had gone before. Those were the original words. And then through 4-H, just having a little bit of taste of leadership. And then as I grew and the Lord led me into Christian radio as a career and in station management, I felt like, gee, I really want to get better at this leadership thing. So I kind of plunged into a program for broadcast management and then leadership, as you said, Bridget, at Nova Southeastern. And then I began to notice that leaders were expected to be innovators and forward thinkers, but that wasn't always the case. And I began to think deeply about the difference then between a leader and a pioneer. So those are some of the questions I started to ask. Are they interchangeable in their purpose? Do they accomplish their goals in different ways? And can anyone be a pioneer? And I came to the conclusion through thinking and writing about this that if God calls us to pioneer a situation, that we can. And that's why I wrote the book, to inspire people, everyday people, to bring significant beneficial change to their own spheres of influence.
Well, what is the difference then between being a pioneer and a leader?
Most pioneers are thought of as leaders in their field. They're kind of like the tip of the spear into new areas. So they're considered leading edge, and they make the way for the rest of us to follow. And the rest of us potentially benefit from their efforts. After looking at many pioneers in the past, our present day, and those who are emerging, I thought, this is a person who is a persistent, risk-taking individual who ventures into a new territory in order to accomplish a goal, and in so doing, influences others to participate and realize and expand this goal. So I'll say that again because it's kind of a mouthful. Okay, so this person is persistent. They take risks. They venture into new territory to accomplish a goal. And by doing this, they influence others to participate and realize and expand this goal. So in looking at pioneers, I saw that some of them were brainy. You know, they were elites, but you know what? Many, many of them aren't. They're everyday people. And with a little help, many of us are capable of pioneering more than we might think. We just need to know the way forward and what it might cost.
Just because you're a pioneer, though, doesn't make you a good leader. Is that correct?
That is correct. I think that leaders who want to leap into the area of pioneering probably could look at their own practices and say, you know, these are areas that I need to improve. And pioneers as well, they have weaknesses. I mean, we all have strengths and weaknesses. And what I found was the sharp pioneer, like the sharp leader, will look for those individuals who can offset some of those weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And together as a team, they're stronger. It may not be easier, but they're stronger in order to go forward and accomplish the goal that the pioneer has set out to accomplish.
Well, we're talking with Jennifer Hayden Epperson today, and she is the author of this new resource, and it's called The Pioneer's Way. And I was blessed to be able to get really a sneak peek into this, Jennifer, and read some of it. And one of the things that struck me is, for some of the people that you highlighted in the book, I'm not sure if they said, I'm going to be a pioneer today. But as they lived their life and did what God was calling them to do, they came across problems and situations, and they forged forward saying, I want to help find a solution to this. Wasn't that kind of the beginning for a lot of these men and women that you highlighted?
Yes. Some of them were faced with seemingly insurmountable, impossible situations. I'm thinking of, for example, Horace Wells. He was a dentist in Connecticut, and he was practicing in the early to mid 19th century. What an awful time to be a dentist.
Yeah,
at that time. I mean, you can just Google some of the tools that they used to use, and you go, ooh.
I'm thinking what an awful time to be the patient.
Right.
You know what? Let me tell you something about Horace Wells. He was a Christian man. He was full of compassion, and he suffered, at least mentally and emotionally. He agonized with his patient, and it actually caused him, you know, with particularly bad tooth extractions, it was traumatic for the patient and it was traumatic for him. Mm. Why? There was no anesthesia. He loved dentistry, but he hated it because of what it did to his patient and what it did to him. And he quit several times. But one night, you know how they had these traveling medical shows, part science, part entertainment, he saw a man come with something called nitrous oxide, which we all know today as laughing gas. And a volunteer took the gas and hallucinated and actually started chasing someone around in the auditorium because he thought, this guy is one of my enemies. And of course, the person in the audience started running. And it wore off in the middle of this. The audience is laughing, but Horace Wells was very astute. He noticed that the person who had taken the laughing gas gashed his leg somewhere in that running around the auditorium. And he said, I wonder, he didn't seem to notice. I wonder if this will stop pain. And another attribute of the pioneer is they have to have skin in the game. So Horace Wells said, try it on me. Next day, he said, I want this wisdom tooth in my mouth removed. Try it on me first. And reluctantly, the two attending dentists did. And what we have today is teeth extractions with laughing gas. As a matter of fact, what I had up the street with an oral surgeon there in Palm Beach County, I had laughing gas, and I thank Horace Wells for that discovery.
Huh. All right.
Yeah, but that's exactly who I was thinking about, though, and I was thinking about, because I read that story in your book, and it was, here he was doing what God called him to do. He had this problem at hand, but he was astute enough to, I guess, have his eye open for a solution to that problem. And that's really what made him a pioneer. It wasn't pride or ego. It was, Lord, I want to help bring a solution to this for other people. And God used him in that way.
And I think it was Christ-like compassion. He was a very devout person, a Christian there in Connecticut at the time. And you can only imagine how he wanted to help people, because tooth pain back then was no joke. I mean, because you didn't have any recourse but go to the dentist, and you knew what was coming. And so did Horace Wells.
You all go there. I go to Walt Disney. I think he's the pioneer in all this. He's one of those out there that as soon as we start talking about this, I think of what he created, mm-hmm. basically. And you talked about how he had weak points, and his brother Roy came up next to him and helped build that. But he's kind of the unknown person in a lot of those things. You do need people to help you through different situations. All right, so that's who I think of anyway. That's a pioneer. He's probably not in the book.
He's a good choice. Yeah, he's not in the book, but maybe he should have been.
Are there still places to be a pioneer, and can we do that even today in our own little sphere of influence?
I believe there can. I mean, look what we're facing right now. We're facing a situation with a pandemic. We still need to crack that nut, don't we? Mm-hmm. Look at some of the social and cultural problems that we're having in our society. We need pioneers on every front. And it doesn't have to be something that you're gunning for a Nobel Prize. As a matter of fact, my best friend's daughter, I would categorize her as an emerging pioneer. She's in her mid to late 20s now. She just got her master's in psychology. But she has a brother who was born with profound autism. And lo and behold, she would watch some of the counselors come in and work with her brother. She observed all of that, developed compassion for people with disabilities, and she now works in equine therapy for those with mental health issues. And she's only one of two in the state of Rhode Island who have this licensing. So she is an emerging pioneer in an area that is new to her area. And so she is, you can just see it, she wants to do research. She's going to be making new inroads in this area. And I know my best friend and I are so proud of her. Her name is Haley.
After you say that, I just kind of wonder, are pioneers many times misunderstood?
Oh, very, very much so. Because there are some areas where they can just, for example, their own problem, they can be obsessed with it. Horace Wells, he was like, try the gas on me. And the two attending dentists said, Horace, we don't know if we give you too much gas, what it's going to do to you. And he insisted on having his own skin in the game. Many times they need a loving, compassionate core of friends and family members who will try to dissuade the pioneer, like, okay, you're getting too obsessed, put this down. And sometimes it can lead to negative consequences for the pioneer, which is why one of the points that I bring out is that pioneers all need somebody who is grounding them, and they need to listen to them because it can have dire consequences.
Hmm.
Well, I assume that part of the reason you wrote this book, The Pioneer's Way, is to help us, help your reader see that, you know what, God may have a place for you in this theme of being a pioneer, even if you can't see it yourself. So talk to that person, though, who's like, that's just not for me. I'm not the leader. I'm not the bold type. But I think you believe that God can still use even the humblest of us to say, no, you can forge a path forward and you can make a difference. But maybe you need to do a little bit convincing for the person who just can't see themselves in that way this morning.
Okay, here's my sales pitch to you. I know it's daunting, but it usually starts with having something buzzing around your head. And I mean more than a South Florida mosquito. You know, the problem that you see that you're facing is big, and you know that you have passion for it or compassion for the people who are held back by it. Something significant. You can do this. There is a way forward. And what God calls you to do, he enables you to do. But there are some considerations, and that's where I hope that this will help. Take stock of what you're doing with the way forward. Start to outline, what is that problem that I'm seeing? Write it down. What is the imagined future that you want to see? What are some of the steps then that you can take to move toward that imagined new future where this problem has been overcome or people have been helped? Do you need a team? It is going to involve some risk. It's going to involve learning more maybe about the problem, being very curious. You may have to stick to it longer than you ever dreamed of sticking to it. You may even seem obsessed to other people, but have your own skin in the game. Have the conviction that your quest can be achieved if given enough time, effort, and resources. And if you don't seem very persuasive to help others get involved, get an Aaron for your Moses, and God will show you who that person is. You don't have to solve it overnight, but in prayer, in communication with God and sharing with trusted other people, you can see the path forward.
Yeah, it might be that you're called to be the cheerleader for that pioneer. Who knows? But as you start that investigation, you'll be the one that you'll figure it out. It'll all make sense to you. The book's called The Pioneer's Way, Leading a Trailblazing Life That Builds Meaning for Your Family, Your Community, and You.